Peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto each one of us this day and ever henceforth. Amen. We are gathered this morning in the house of the Lord, and let us believe that we find ourselves in the presence of the living God. For the Bible teaches us where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We are gathered together this morning in the name of the Lord. Therefore, let us believe that the Lord is here in our midst, and it is His desire to minister unto each and every one of us according to our spiritual needs, so that when our journey comes to an end, we might be found worthy of Him and receive from His hand of love that glorious crown of life everlasting. Jesus once said, "Whosoever believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Everyone that believes in Jesus, as the Bible teaches, out of their belly is going to come forth rivers of living water. The joy of salvation is going to be bubbling out of us by the revelation and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's important, dearly beloved, that we find ourselves believing in Him as the Bible teaches. Jesus once said, "Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Only those that walk in obedience to the word of the Lord are going to be found worthy of Him at His coming. And Jesus Himself said, on that day, referring to the day of judgment, "Many are going to come to me," not only a few, dearly beloved, but there's going to be many on that day. They're going to come to Him and they're going to say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? Have we not cast out devils in Thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works in Thy name?" These are people that have the Lord upon their lips, and they're using the name of the Lord in preaching, in casting out devils, and in doing many wonderful works. It would appear, would it not, that surely these people are believing in Jesus, as the scripture teaches, being that they're casting out devils in His name and doing many other miracles in His name. But the Lord tells us, He's going to tell them, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I have never known you." I hope and I pray, dearly beloved, that the Lord would not only be found upon our lips, but I pray that He would be abiding in our hearts by faith, motivating us by His love, inspiring us through His Spirit in doing those things that are right and pleasing in His sight. For you remember, as Paul wrote in his letter unto the Corinthians, all that are in Christ, every individual that finds himself in the Lord Jesus Christ, has become a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's a definite change that takes place in the heart in those that have come to know Jesus. This morning I'm going to read for our meditation about a man that was very righteous. He was very holy. He was very sincere. He was very strict. He was very dedicated in his beliefs, and surely to the naked eye of man he would appear as one that is in a saved condition, If anybody is a Christian, that man has to be a Christian. And it was unto this man that Jesus spoke and said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." That portion of Scripture is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. John. I'm going to read from the 3rd chapter, beginning with verse 1, and continue on through verse 7. The words are read in the name of our Lord as follows. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Amen. We heard in the opening verse of our text how this man Nicodemus, to whom Jesus said, "Marvel not, ye must be born again," how that he was a Pharisee. Many of you here gathered are very familiar with those people that the Bible speaks of as being Pharisees. But I'm sure that there are many of you here gathered this morning that are not familiar with a Pharisee. What is a Pharisee? When the Bible speaks of the Pharisees, it is speaking of people that were very, very religious. They were very, very sincere in their beliefs. They were very strict in their walk. But they were not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not believing in the Lord as the Scripture teaches, but they were walking in the vanity of their own minds. We read in the Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 15th chapter, and here the Lord finds himself referring to the words of the prophet Isaiah. He makes known, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The word of the Lord was not being taught. The word of the Lord was not being preached. The commandments of men were being taught and were being preached. And there were those that listened to those commandments and those teachings and walked in obedience to them and found themselves clothed in their own righteousness, totally ignorant of the righteousness that God has provided for us in and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus was one of these Pharisees. We are told also that he was a ruler of the Jews. And we are told in our text how this man Nicodemus came to Jesus. He came to Jesus, but he came to him by night. And he said unto him, "Rabbi." He referred to him as Rabbi. and acknowledged with these words, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Nicodemus was one of those that witnessed the miracles that Jesus did while he walked here upon the face of this earth. And in beholding those miracles, he was convinced in his heart that this man, he has to be a man come from God, because nobody can do these miracles that he is doing except God be with him. Jesus said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus tells Nicodemus, if you're not, or if a person isn't born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? And I think it's so important that we know and understand what the kingdom of God is. If someone were to come to you and ask you the question, what is the kingdom of God? What would your answer be? What would you tell that person? It's this church here in New Ipswich? Would that be your answer? Or what would your answer be? St. Paul, when he wrote unto the Romans, he told them what the kingdom of God is. There it's recorded how the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is the kind of a kingdom God has established here upon the face of this earth. And if a person hasn't entered into this kingdom, he is not a Christian. He is not in a saved condition. He is not prepared to die. He is not prepared to meet the Lord in judgment. Because everyone outside of this kingdom is going to be judged to spend his eternal days in the torments of hell. So now when Nicodemus had seen all the miracles, the wonders, the glorious things that Jesus was doing, he was convinced that Jesus was a man sent from God, because nobody can do those things on their own. They don't have the ability, man doesn't have the strength to do things like that. Jesus found it needful to tell Nicodemus, you have not as yet seen the kingdom of God. Yes, you've seen glorious things, but you haven't seen the kingdom of God. And no man can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And by the grace of God this morning, we're going to consider this matter of new birth. It's much more than just joining the church and becoming part of all of its functions and activities, whatever. There's much more to new birth than this. And I think it's so important for all of us that are parents. My heart rejoices to see so many of you boys and girls here gathered this morning. And I commend you as parents that you have brought your children to the house of the Lord. You have done well. You have done that which is right and pleasing in the sight of God. And continue to bring your children to the house of the Lord. But listen carefully, dearly beloved. Just because you bring them to the house of the Lord does not mean that they're going to receive all that is needful and necessary. We as parents have a grave responsibility in the eyes of our Creator. The Bible teaches us that as parents we must train a child in the way in which he should go. Our concern, dearly beloved, ought to be that our children I believe these boys and girls here gathered this morning are the precious children of God. I honestly believe that in the light of God's holy word. But I believe that the enemy of the soul, who is more subtle than any other beast of the field, is working hard to capture their hearts. You and I as parents, we can take it for granted, just because our children are coming to church with us, that everything is well with their soul. We can find ourselves as Mary and Joseph. Remember at the age when Jesus was 12 years old, and they went to Jerusalem to the feast of the Passover. And after the Passover feast was over, they all began their journey to their earthly homes. And there was a large multitude traveling together. And Mary and Joseph just took it for granted. They took it for granted that Jesus was there in their midst. They weren't too concerned about it. They just figured Jesus is someplace amongst the multitude. But after a day's journey, they began to take a little inventory. Where is our son? Where is Jesus? And he was nowhere to be found. He wasn't there in and amongst the multitude. They had to journey all the way back to Jerusalem, and there they found him in the temple where they had left him. You and I can begin to think also that our children are coming along just fine, and we don't concern ourselves to any greater extent concerning their salvation. But I believe that the home is the place where we have to nourish and train and teach these little children the truths of our Lord, the truths of our Master, the Good Shepherd and Bishop of our soul. Plant the good seed of God's word into their hearts. As a servant of God, in being honest with each and every one of you, I have to say that my heart becomes very, very grieved. Sorrow and sadness fills my heart when I see both mother and dad working, and the children brought to some day center to be cared for, or the children are left to shift on their own. We don't have time for those little children. We're not really concerned with their soul salvation. We bring them to Sunday school and to church, and that's about all we do as individuals. As I mentioned, it's good that you do this. But I would hope, even as we heard this morning, when those little children looked into the eyes of the Lord, they saw love there, they saw concern, they saw mercy and compassion in those eyes. They saw something that left an impression upon their hearts, which I'm sure they didn't forget. Those little children that God has blessed us with, they are in need of this love. They are in need of this kindness. They are in need of this mercy and compassion. Those children are in need of these blessed truths, because there are perilous times before them. Jesus told Nicodemus, just because you've seen these signs doesn't mean that you have still seen the kingdom of God. And remember, in the last days, Jesus said there's going to arise many false Christs and false prophets. And these false Christs and false prophets are going to show great signs and wonders. And through these signs and wonders, many are going to be deceived. Keep in mind, dearly beloved, faith does not come by sight. The Bible teaches us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how one receives living faith into their heart. I know, Nicodemus, you have seen all these miracles, these wonders, these signs. But that doesn't mean you've seen the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is righteousness. It is peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Except a man be born again, he cannot see this kingdom. It's blinded from before his eyes. Well, when Jesus spoke to this religious, righteous, holy man, these words, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus immediately said, how can a man be born again when he is old? How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Sounds rather ridiculous, doesn't it? A man that's so righteous and holy, and he doesn't know anything about being born again. I'm an old man. How can I be born again? Am I to enter into my mother's womb and come out again and consider that as being born again? That's impossible. How can a man be born again when he is old? I might mention, it's surprising how many there are out there in the world that are very religious, they're very holy and pious. And when you ask them the question, have you been born again? They don't know anything about being born again. They don't know if it's ever taken place. They don't know what it's all about, and they don't even know how it happens. And I think it's important for us to know how it happens. It's important for us to know how a person can be born again. When Nicodemus began to speak in this way, asking, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Earlier we heard Jesus tell Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Jesus tells Nicodemus, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Remember what the kingdom of God is. It is righteousness. It is peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. A person cannot enter into this condition of heart. A person cannot enter into this kingdom unless he is born of the water and of the Spirit. And we know that unless a person is in this kingdom, he is not in a saved condition. He's not a Christian. One has to be born of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter into this kingdom, which God alone has established in and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. It's important for us to know and to understand what it means to be born of the water. What does it mean to be born of water? You have to be born of water and of the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. We've heard, and I'm sure you have heard it often proclaimed, that it isn't enough just to be a member of the church. That is not your ticket to heaven. You have to be born again. You have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. What is that water? That water is the Word of Life. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is referred to as the Water of Life. The Word of God is the water of life. It's life-giving substance. We've heard Paul wrote to the Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Peter has written with these words, "You have not been born of that corruptible seed, but that incorruptible seed, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." The corruptible seed is the word of man. That's the commandments of men. Nobody becomes a Christian that way. We hear in our days a lot of, shall we say, excellency of speech, enticing words of man's wisdom. We have silver-tongued men in our days, and oh, they can present themselves so well. And that presentation somehow captures our hearts and our minds, and we're so overtaken by that we don't even hear what's been preached. That's the word of man. You have not been born of that corruptible seed, but that incorruptible seed, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, when we speak about being born of the water, being born of the word of God, we ask the question, how does that happen? How can I be born again through the hearing of this word? I don't know how that happens. Let me endeavor to explain, dearly beloved. The Bible teaches us that you and I, from the standpoint of flesh, are total sin. You remember Jesus himself said, "There is none good, no, not one. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God." We remember the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. He said, "In me, that is in my flesh, there abideth no good thing." He considered himself as the chief of all sinners. Man doesn't realize, man doesn't recognize what he really is until he takes a good look at himself in the mirror of God's word. We remember the prophet Jeremiah has written concerning the heart of man, and there we find how the heart of man is desperately wicked. And he asked the question, who can know it? The deceit, the maneuverings, the ungodliness that is in our heart is so wicked we don't even know and understand it ourselves. What I'm trying to establish is this, that we, from the standpoint of flesh, are total sin. We have to be brought to that knowledge of what we are from the standpoint of flesh. And what can bring a person to that knowledge? The word of the Lord. The Bible teaches us the word of God is light. Remember, David wrote of the word and said, "Thy word is a light unto my feet, it's a lamp unto my pathway." The word of God is a lamp, it's a light. The word of God is pure, it's holy, it's without spot and blemish. And when you take that word and you plant that word into this corrupt, wicked flesh, it's not going to take too long when, through the hearing of that word, we're going to find ourselves as sinners. We're going to be awakened to the knowledge of the sin that is embedded in us. And when a person is brought to that knowledge of his sin, there is nobody that can convince him that he's going to heaven. How can I, such a big sinner, ever expect to arrive home in heaven? Your sin separates you from God. I remember when God awakened my heart to the knowledge of my sin. I was brought up in a Christian home. I came to Sunday school. I was confirmed. I partook of the Lord's Supper, and I believed that I was a child of God, covered by God's grace, But there came the time when my heart was pierced by the word of the Lord. God brought me to the knowledge of my sin. And because of my sin, I couldn't believe that I was a Christian. I couldn't believe that I was going to heaven. Because of my sin, I couldn't feel that standing before God in judgment I was prepared to do. Because I had to believe my sin is going to separate me from God. The word of the Lord, the light of heaven, had worked in me the knowledge of my sin. I had never found myself as a sinner like this. I had never found myself in a condemned condition because of sin. But now the time had come when my heart had been brought to the knowledge of its sin, and I found myself condemned. You see, it's the word of the Lord that works in a person the knowledge of this sin. I remember once, and allow me to share with you this little happening. I was sitting in one of the rooms in our church but they could only be seen in that bright light that was shining in, and all of you know what I'm talking about. And I stopped everything there in our class, and I began to talk about this very thing that was happening. And this is the way it is, beloved. Until that light of God's word can really shine into one's heart, we don't know the sin that's embedded in us. We have to be awakened to that knowledge, and it all takes place through the hearing of this word. Oh, it's so important that we find ourselves sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to this word, looking at ourselves in the mirror of his word. And when a person finds themselves as a sinner, and now a desire has been kindled into the heart, oh, that I could be freed from my sins. You have but one desire, and that is that my sins could be forgiven. The day is going to come when God is going to grant you the grace, the strength to open your mouth, and you're going to find yourself crying out for grace, for mercy, and forgiveness. And you're going to hear with your own ears, yes, the very ears of your heart, the glad tidings of heaven, which is the gospel of Jesus. Be of good cheer, dear brother or sister. All of your sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atoning blood, they're all washed away. God is going to give you the faith to believe that. Unto the joy of salvation. You have been born of the water. You have been born of the Word of God. The Word of God has regenerated you. You haven't had anything to do with it. It's all been the working of God through His Word and by the power of His Spirit. And the Bible teaches us all those that have been born again, God gives unto them the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift that God gives to those that have been born again. And through the Spirit, the fire of God's love is kindled to burn within the heart. We heard this morning how God is love, and nobody will experience that love until the Spirit of God has been given to them, and through the Spirit, the fire of God's love is kindled to burn within that soul. Now we have been born of the water and of the Spirit. And those that have been born of the water and of the Spirit have entered into the kingdom of God through the merits of Jesus Christ. They have been made righteous and holy through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. They have received peace unto their souls that passes all understanding. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, the joy of salvation, which is unspeakable and full of glory, fills the soul. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. You have entered into that kingdom. This is what the Christian church is, dearly beloved. And unless we have entered into this kingdom, finding ourselves righteous through the merits of Jesus Christ, possessing the peace of God that passes all understanding, and the joy of salvation which is unspeakable, we don't know what the kingdom of God is. Yes, there may be those that are in the midst of the kingdom of God, but they have never entered into the kingdom of God. They have never seen the kingdom of God. They have seen the functions, the joy in the midst of the kingdom of God, but they themselves have never entered into that kingdom. Man has to be born of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter into that kingdom. Jesus tells Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus wasn't talking about being born into this world when he tells us that which is born of the flesh is flesh. There have been some that have looked upon this portion of Scripture and have looked at it in this light, that Jesus was telling Nicodemus, you've been born of the flesh, you've come into this world like everybody else, but you have to be born of the Spirit. I believe Jesus was talking about something far greater than this when he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We can reflect our thoughts all the way back to the days of Abraham and Sarah. You remember Abraham and Sarah had two sons, and we're told one of the sons was born of the flesh, and the other one was born of promise. Now, if we're talking about natural birth into this world, we'd have to say they were both born of the flesh. And we've all been born of the flesh. But here it says that Isaac was born of promise, but Ishmael was born of the flesh. What does it mean to be born of the flesh spiritually? It means this, beloved. Nicodemus was one of those that was born of the flesh. His Christianity was all that which was of the flesh. When a man conforms his life from ungodly ways to godly ways, here's a man that's a drunkard. Here's a man that's living in all kinds of wickedness and ungodliness, adultery and fornication, his swearing and stealing and lying and everything else. And all of a sudden he decides that this type of a life has to come to an end. I'm going to quit my drinking. I'm going to quit my smoking. I'm going to quit my chasing around. I'm going to quit my lying and stealing and swearing. I'm going to join a church and I'm going to become very active in that church. And he does it. He's conformed from ungodly ways to godly ways. Has he entered into the kingdom of God? Has he become righteous? Does he have peace and joy in the Holy Spirit? No, beloved. He's been born of the flesh. It's all in what he has done. And there's nothing in him yet accomplished that Christ has done. He's been born of the flesh. Let's quickly, and our time has so rapidly passed, focus upon those two sons of Abraham and Sarah. You remember God had promised Abraham and Sarah a son, and that son was never born. And Sarah had reached the age that she could no longer conceive. I can't bear any children. And God has promised a son. What are we going to do? We can't have the son that's been promised to us. So they took the matter into their own hands. And because they took the matter into their own hands and began to do something about it, it wasn't a son born after promise of the Spirit. Because you remember, Sarah told Abraham, "You go and live with our maid." They had a maid working for them. Her name was Agar. "You go and live with her. Be with her until she conceives." This was all the workings of man. God wasn't involved in that. It was the work of the man's hands. "You go, Abraham, and be with her." She conceived. And she brought forth a son. But that son was not born of promise. It was born of the flesh, the workings of man. And mind you, when Abraham had reached the age of 100, and Sarah was now 90 years old, all of a sudden, Sarah tells Abraham, "I'm great with child. We're going to have a child." How could it be? How could it be that we're going to have a child? You're too old to conceive. It can't be. God had promised to them that child. Man had nothing to do with it. It was all the workings of God in God's time. In God's time, Isaac was born. He was born of the Spirit. We have nothing to do, so to speak, with coming into living faith. You and I have been exhorted to believe. And believe what? The word of the Lord. And in so doing, through the hearing of this word, in God's time, faith, living faith, is going to be kindled within the heart. I so often think of my own father. When my father was converted, mother commented with these words, "I have waited 50 long years for this day. I have waited 50 years for this day." The day that Dad was converted, there was rejoicing in the church. I don't believe any of God's children were left in their seats. And when we were gathered downstairs for coffee and fellowship, many came to my dad and asked him the question, "Why did you wait so long? Why did you wait so long? Why didn't you repent a long time ago?" Dad had words of wisdom. I would never have believed the words that Dad proclaimed, a newborn child into the kingdom. He just quietly said, "Because God didn't invite me until today. Today was my day." He couldn't become a Christian on his own. "It isn't anything that I can do. I had to wait. I had to wait for the days of the Lord in order to become a Christian." And I'll never forget that day. I had never seen a tear come forth from my father's eye. But under the hearing of that word, he found himself a total sinner. As I walked down the church aisle after the service, he was there with both of his hands raised up, and down his cheek were two streams of water. The tears flowed freely, and he trembled in the flesh, crying out, "Can a sinner like I have my sins forgiven?" I proclaimed to him the glad tidings of heaven. "Dad, be of good cheer. In the precious name of the atoning blood of Jesus, it's true. All of your sins are forgiven." He was born of the water. He was born of the Spirit. He entered into the kingdom of God. Through the merits of Jesus, he found himself righteous. He had the peace of God and the joy of salvation abiding within his soul. This is what the Christian church is, dearly beloved. And this is how we enter into that saved condition. This is what it means to be born again. And there's no other way, dearly beloved, that a person can enter into this kingdom. You have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And that water being the Word of God, isn't it important that in the time of grace we avail ourselves to this precious Word? You remember that certain woman, when she beheld the miracles of Jesus, she said, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps that thou hast sucked." Jesus said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of the Lord and keep it." Oh, it's important, beloved, that we pray, we cry out to the Lord when his servants come forth, that God through his Spirit would reveal the word of life unto them, and that God would strengthen them in proclaiming this word, so that in the light of this word we can examine our hearts, and through the hearing of this word we can enter into that blessed kingdom, there rejoicing in the salvation of God, anxiously waiting for that great and glorious day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, dearly beloved, that each and every one of you here gathered this morning have been so blessed that through the hearing of this word you have entered into this kingdom, and today you wait for that great and glorious day of the coming of the Lord. But if there be any soul here gathered who has not as yet received the grace to repent and to believe, if you have not been born of the water and of the Spirit, but under the hearing of God's word you have been brought to the knowledge of your sin, and you recognize your sins as scarlet, and the devil has convinced you that God would never forgive you, your sins are too great, your sins are too many, don't listen to that devil, dearly beloved. The Bible teaches us God's grace is greater than all of our sin. Yes, the sins of adultery, the sins of drunkenness, the sins of stealing and lying and gossip, whatever the sins may be, the Bible teaches us his grace is greater than all of your sin. Cry out and make yourself known. Here is one that is perishing in their sin. I want to have my sins forgiven. I want to be a child of God. I want to get to heaven. I know that Jesus is soon coming, and I want to be ready and prepared. And the only way you're going to be prepared, dearly beloved, is through Jesus. And in his name and blood we can be washed and cleansed of our sins, be made righteous and holy and acceptable unto him in Jesus' holy and most blessed name. Amen.
Shall we unite yet in a word of prayer and thanksgiving? Dear gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy holy and eternal word, and we pray that indeed we might be partakers of it unto life and unto salvation. Grant unto every believing heart that strength to believe in the Savior and Redeemer. Grant unto every heart that is gathered here that life and salvation that is to be found only in Christ Jesus. Now as we partake even of the natural food which thou hast set before us, we with thanksgiving would want to partake of it, remembering that that food which is nourishment unto our undying soul is brought forth by thy word and by thy Spirit. And even these natural gifts which we partake of with our mouth are also gifts from thee for our bodily nourishment, and we with thanksgiving would want to receive of it. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
There is food served downstairs then for everyone. We want to ask the young again to pick up their food at the counter and bring it into the new section and eat at the tables there. Then we'll gather again this afternoon at 2 o'clock. There'll be a baptism, Francie and Bonnie's baby first, and then the English sermon by Brother Dick. And then again this evening you'll be in Fitchburg at 7 o'clock. This week then there'll be fellowship Thursday evening at 7:30, and then next Sunday morning, Sunday school at 9:30, and our service at 10:30 and 7 o'clock next Sunday evening. Closing this morning, let us sing song number 221 from the Red Songbook. During the singing of this song, we'll carry a free will offering for the benefit of the church.
Thank you.